I've often said that when we make mistakes in our administration, we confront them immediately and own up to them and report them. And I, therefore, I have the duty of full disclosure this morning to report the two important mistakes in the First Lady's cookbook, which, as you know, is
a story here.
This way. Which, as you know, is being sold to support the renovation, restoration of the residence. Both these errors were found by Melissa Daniels, number two in the line. One, for the protection of those who are partial to caramel pecan apple pie, which I can testify is a fabulous dessert. On page 113, do not be misled that you are to use 3/4 cup of sugar and of cinnamon. 3/4 cup of sugar and a little cinnamon. Even more urgent is the need to report the error on page 63 in the recipe for curry chicken and cheese sauce, where Sherry completes her description of this family favorite by saying, "I always keep cheddar cheese soup in my pantry for this recipe." There's a missing R in the critical word, pantry. And I feel it essential to confront this error head on and set the record straight. I have never, in all our years of marriage, come across my wife with cheddar cheese in her pantry without the R. That said, I'm ready for your question.
Governor, I'm asking this for someone else, as Michelle always says. So,
are you embarrassed about this question?
No, okay. No, not horribly.
Right.
Basically, a lot of other states are adding money to their pre-K investment, pre-kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
For economic development purposes. And Indiana is one of only 9 states that doesn't invest any money in pre-K. So I guess I'm just wondering where early childhood education is on your priority list.
Very high. If Indiana were in the fiscal shape of other states, we might be doing it today. And I look forward to that. I've often said that when we have additional investments to make, that those at the earliest years probably make the most sense of any. Remain as supporter of the idea of all-day kindergarten. We want to get to that as soon as we can. But the simple fact is, Indiana, as you know, is one of the 4 or 5 weakest states fiscally. We're coming back from that, but we're not there yet. As you saw this week, state tax revenues are no better than expected, actually a little under, and we've got a long way to go before we can say that we even have the books in balance, let alone can make major new investments. But when we can, and that day is coming, education and early education is right at the front of the list.
A few weeks ago, you appointed a couple of new members to the IURC. What changes do you want to see from the legislature next year on utilities, and how much guidance do you give the IURC?
I've given the IURC guidance that we want to be more self-sufficient in energy. We have a gap coming in electrical generation. We ought to close it. We ought to close it with Indiana coal dug, transported, and turned into electricity by Hoosiers using new clean coal technology. That's on the energy side. We need to become a state of ubiquitous broadband and other modern telecommunications as fast as possible, and they know that's a top priority of mine also.
Broadband, there's been a couple of proposals in the last couple of years to take that statewide. What approach would you favor there?
I think the market's taking it there statewide. I want to make sure we're not interfering with it. There are new technologies and new entrants, it seems almost every day, and we want to make sure that they are not deterred by any of our policies.
Are you pleased with the amnesty results so far?
Yes.
$4 million announced today.
I am. We're really not going to know until we know. Every other state that our people talked to said that quite naturally, The majority of the money comes in very late. Very often it's the last week, where, and so you really will not know until that happens what the final tally may be. But it seems to me we're off to a pretty good start. I mean, the whole program only cost, I guess, $1 million or a little more, and so the taxpayers of the state are tens of millions ahead already, but we have high hopes that the estimate which the Legislative Services Agency made will be met or even exceeded.
So, are you making sure that you won't get to the 200 that you originally talked about, though?
Don't know. That was simply a look at what has happened in some other states and doing the arithmetic for a state our size. LSA made a more conservative estimate, and I think that's the right way when you're actually planning a government budget to do it. I was advocating this as a candidate, and I indicated that some states have had that kind of success. Maybe we will, but I think the LSA picked a reasonable number. I hope, again, that maybe it's on the low side.
I remember there was a recent conversation with some property owners who own land south of the new proposed stadium and convention center. They say they've been trying to communicate with the stadium building authority folks to find out what's going to go with any sort of possible eminent domain. Do you worry that eminent domain might be used in the sense that, you know, people who've got homes, rental properties and the like, maybe bulldozed or forced to move to make way for a stadium and convention center?
Well, it shouldn't happen. As I understand it, there are a very limited number of properties that have not already been acquired. And I hope they can be fairly, ideally, without the use of eminent domain.
What is back to what you said about the electric generation?
Yes.
Are you saying you want all new electric generation to be coal?
I didn't say all, but I think that ought to be our emphasis. And frankly, it's the that process of elimination is almost sure to be the vast majority of it. In other words, makes very little sense, I think, looking forward. Makes no sense to think about oil as a source. Much less sense now to think about natural gas. Nuclear energy may one day be another option in America, but it's not right now. Given that Indiana has rich coal reserves and that new technologies are coming on that can use our coal in a very environmentally friendly way, I want us to be a leader in that respect, and have said so for quite some time.
You mentioned natural gas. It's expected that natural gas prices are supposed to just shoot through the roof this winter. Do you worry that that's going to really impact Hoosiers and their pocketbooks and slow down any sort of recovery that this state may try to have because of natural gas prices?
Of course I do, and that's why I started even while the summer was still here. Particularly as soon as we saw the first hurricane, put a working group together. We've been meeting with them regularly, including yesterday, and we'll have our first announcement next week. But we are preparing to do the best job ever in having funds available so that poor people are not without power, without heat. And secondly, to move more aggressively in conservation and weatherization than we have in the past. And we've had the best people from public and private sector we could assemble working on this for several weeks now. Just like a hurricane, you know, is coming. There's very little doubt we're going to have a difficult winter, even if temperatures are routine, given the prices that have spiked. So we intend to be as prepared as any state or as this state has ever been.
Governor, some other governors in the U.S. have ditched their SUVs to drive more fuel-efficient cars to encourage their citizens to drive more fuel-efficient cars. Just wondering how you feel about still driving the RV. I realize it's using soy biodiesel, but it still only gets 8 miles to a gallon.
And it generally transports several people at a time, which is ought to be factored in. Well, I suppose it's something we could keep looking at, but in fact, I think that it still makes an important point that we are moving to a homegrown, environmentally friendly fuel. This is part of the answer, I think, along with conservation. I think very important to note that gasoline consumption is going down in Indiana and the country as a consequence of the higher prices. People are buying more fuel-efficient cars now in greater numbers. So people are responding in a common sense way to this. One of the ways we want people to respond is by moving to renewable fuels, homegrown fuels. And for the moment, I still think that's an important trend to try to continue encouraging.
Are you thinking of trading in the Envoy for a Prius?
Well, I don't know. I believe in driving until they drop, and it's really for the state police to decide which vehicles we ride in.
Back up to the IURC for a second. Your predecessor's predecessor wanted them to have authority over mergers and conditions. They now departed chair, Mr. Riccardi, would advocate the same thing. Is that something that you would ask the legislature for?
No.
Why not?
I don't think it's necessary.
Because the argument that's been made is that the state doesn't get as good a deal as it might for its consumers.
I disagree. I think, you know, that the state has plenty enough power and authority right now, and the direction of our administration will be to look for ways to remove the hand of regulation from small businesses, from the economy, from education, and from other walks of life where we may have gone a little too far.
Governor, are we making any headway today? Is the state making any headway when it comes to paying out unemployment?
Yes. I ordered all hands on deck, and that went all the way to the top of that agency, including the director himself. Everybody available has been trained in how to process these things and been working on them in the evenings, on the weekend. As you know, there's nothing new about this. In fact, the changes they have made to that agency were based on a terrible record, chronic backlogs and other mismanagement that the U.S. Department of Labor was preparing to penalize Indiana for. So the fact that there's still a backlog, that even went up a little bit, is something I'm very unhappy about, and it's being worked on very directly at my request.
The commissioner says that that the backlog should be gone by the end of the year. Is that acceptable?
No, I'd like to see it gone sooner. Now remember, Indiana's been operating with a backlog in the 10 to 15,000 range chronically. And that's not acceptable. That's why these changes were made in the first place, to remedy one of the worst performances in America. So they've had a hiccup moving from an old system to a better system, and that's not acceptable, even on a very short time frame. And he knows that I want to see real improvement sooner than that.
I'll ask the obligatory DSC question. 2.5 weeks from now, it kicks in. Do you think the Department of Transportation will issue any sort of ruling or anything or approve one way or the other before it's time for a clock to change at the end of the month?
Well, I don't know, but I am expecting them to move quickly in a way that brings finality to the remaining question, which is those few counties which want to switch zones. In a way that brings finality by the end of the year. So I would expect to hear something from them pretty soon.
Will you endorse a candidate for state treasurer?
I don't know. I think that I'll let the situation sort itself out just a little bit first. But there's some good people out there, and I haven't really given any thought.
This week, the Democrats raised concerns that there is not a good firewall between the Inspector General's office and this office, based on some comments that Mark Lovers made on Indiana Week in Review. And I wondered, you know, are you guys aware of what investigations they're doing or not?
They should start by reading the statute, which their members, their own party's members, voted for unanimously in the House and 2 or 3 to 1 in the Senate. That statute requires the Inspector General to inform me when he is referring a matter that may be criminal to a prosecutor. Let me just say that I appreciated the bipartisan, broad bipartisan support for that bill. Because I want our administration to be cleaner than the ones that followed. It is all about having a watchdog during the years we are accountable, so that if and when, humans being human, somebody breaks a rule or tries to, there's a better chance of them being found. Now, the fact that once there was a place for whistleblowers to safely take their information, many of the cases that they brought the Inspector General reached back a little bit, was not to be, not shouldn't be surprised to anybody, and those things should not be ignored. But the real purpose of that very important reform is to do the best job humanly possible to bring, to ensure ethical, high integrity government while we are here and for Indiana's future. And especially in view of the overwhelming support in both parties for it, why their party hierarchy wants to look like apologists for corruption, I'm not sure.
Has there been a criminal recommendation made in the case involving the state police?
I really don't want to make any comments about cases that may or may not be under review at that level.
The Association of Cities and Towns is getting ready to put together a proposal to alleviate the, what they call the tension for a lot of municipalities across Indiana. There's some talk that might involve coming to the legislature asking for some sort of bailout or some sort of relief. With Indiana's financial situation right now, can the state afford to alleviate some of the burden on its cities and towns for their police and fire pension funds?
Well, the answer is I don't know, but it'd be worth a look. We've been working very closely with the cities and towns and with the counties on trying to figure out ways that the state can be helpful to local finances. Problems in local finances aren't new. They've been coming for a long time. Just like the state, we've been outspending the growth in income for a long time in Indiana. And finally, that wolf arrives at the door when you do that. But there are a variety of ways that the state might be able to help. I'm open to almost all of them, including trying to lighten mandates on local government, and give them more flexibility of alternative ways to the property tax to raise necessary revenues, ways to encourage or assist them in reforming their local structures for efficiency. And maybe the idea that that you just mentioned. So we want to be as cooperative as we can, and certainly recognize the problem.
Did you think that the legislation on artificial reproduction that Senator Pat Miller brought up is a good idea that ought to be revisited by the legislature?
It was gone before I had a chance to look at it.
Do you think it's something that they ought to revisit, though?
I still haven't looked at it.
Ticker doesn't know.
Not on my agenda for today, let me put it that way.
Back on IAC for a second, the idea of the local option income or food and beverage or other taxes to raise money locally, how can that be structured in such a way that property taxes don't fill up along with it?
Well, that's an important question. We have the state's best expert, frankly, standing right behind you as it happens on that. It would certainly, I think, be a mistake to provide flexibility without some clear understanding, maybe, of provisions that don't simply lead to an add-on of taxation when the problem is local taxpayers are too heavily burdened already. But it's not beyond human imagination to make arrangements whereby those dollars have to be substituted, and thereby they could lower property tax burdens if and when those options were used. But that's something I proposed to the last General Assembly, and we didn't get to agreement on it, but I think it's still a category that we ought to have a good look at. Indiana leans too much on the property tax, and I think a broader base locally would be a good idea.
Does it have a better chance next year in the short session than it did this year?
I don't know, but we had a good discussion of this up in Fort Wayne when I was with the cities and towns folks, and I expressed the viewpoint answering the question that I don't believe we should skip a year given the size of Indiana's problems, this and many others. Next year may be a short session. That doesn't mean it has to be an inactive session. And I think we should pick a few of our largest problems and make real headway. Transportation infrastructure, I've already talked about as a good example.
Governor, I read that you also said at that meeting, or that conference, that if local governments would curtail spending to the kind of growth the state had in spending, that we would be talking about property tax cuts, not property tax increases. And I just wondered what you meant by, how would we be talking about property tax cuts?
Well, maybe a hypothetical observation, but the state government just held its spending growth to 2.5 and 1.5 in the next 2 years. Natural growth of revenue, property tax revenues, will exceed that if in the state, so that I'm just making an arithmetic truism there. Obviously, it's not going to be possible for many localities to do that. And that's why we're talking about all these other ways in which we might be of some help. I praise the vast majority, I think, of local governments, and certainly civil governments, cities and towns. I very specifically said more than once up there, this is not the source of high property. They are not the source of high property taxes. High property taxes are being driven, number one, by debt service on school construction. The second fastest growing category is libraries. And then other categories that are not within the jurisdiction of mayors and town boards.
Governor, the Tourism Council met for the first time. And one of the things they're saying is they like all schools to stay to open after Labor Day in order to give businesses more access to the student workforce.
Yeah.
Is that something that you think is needed, and would you push for that?
Well, I know it does hurt a lot of our businesses, not just in tourism. That alone might not be reason to do it. I just happen to think it's a good idea, and so do a lot of parents and teachers I talk to. And I will mention that that's another reason among several that I think the ISTEP test should be given in the spring. Ask anybody in K-12 education at the delivery level why we're starting so early these days, and cramming for the ISTEP comes up.
So if there will be a universal start date for schools, and
that kind of runs against my grain, because I believe in local control. I think localities, there may be really good reasons in some places why an earlier start date makes sense, and I'd be reluctant, I think, to see the state once again impose its heavy hand. A major initiative to take another board that we'll be naming soon. The Board of Education, a principal initiative I will ask them to explore is ways to remove mandates and regulation from schools so teachers can teach and principals can lead. And so I'd be, even though I do think school seems to start unnaturally early in many Indiana communities, I don't think the state necessarily ought to order that.
Governor, you've mentioned obviously we need to find some additional money for our transportation needs. One of the things the federal government is doing is offering a $15 million grant to states like Indiana, who would close a big loophole in their seatbelt law for trucks, SUVs, and truck plates. Will that be a priority for you guys to go after that money, or do you want to stay out of the seatbelt?
I don't know about a priority, but I would talk to the legislature about it. After many years of stalemate, we solved a very parallel problem. I arranged a compromise in those three chairs right there, and we solved the problem that had been sitting around for a long time. It had to do with open containers, and it will liberate a significant number of millions of dollars to build roads, about the same amount, more or less. So I'd look at it, but that's one that the legislature really should be heard on.
Who are you rooting for in the baseball playoffs?
Honesty requires that I say
you don't know.
It will not break my heart if the Yankees aren't there.
Should Jim Tracy have kept his job?
I would have said yes up until the way they mailed it in the last 20 or 25 games, and I didn't find very admirable. I thought he was doing a pretty good job with a pretty weak hand for a long time, but they were only going through the motions toward the end, and I didn't find that very commendable. So.
Thank you.
Is that it? Thank you.
Thank you.